أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verses number 78 onwards. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنْذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. And indeed my curse will be on you till the day of retribution. He said, My Lord, despite me till the day they will be resurrected. He said, You are indeed among the reprieves until the day of the known time. Now, continuing this conversation between God and Iblis and the disobedience of Iblis to prostrate before Adam, after, of course, Allah tells him, Be gone from here, and you are indeed an outcast. فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. There is another note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, and that is, إِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. My curse will be on you till the day of retribution. Now, of course, curse, as we discussed before, is exclusion from mercy. And mercy, in its very specific term, means closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that brings us closer to Him is an outcome of mercy. And if you look into different verses of the Quran, for example, about the prophets, when Allah says, وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا, we made them enter into our mercy. He means that we made them to come into a realm where they feel my presence, where they are very, very close to me. So this curse which is upon Iblis doesn't mean that Iblis will become crippled or Iblis will become powerless, or the sustenance which is provided for him in this world is going to be cut off. It only means that it is excluded from the realm where the presence of God is felt, where the love between God and servant is established, and therefore it is a very dull and gloomy state of existence. And this applies to human beings as well. If a human being is cursed by God, it has the same effect. That means he is not going to be cut off from the provisions of this world. They might be very wealthy, they might prosper very well in this world. However, what goes wrong with them is that the door to them, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be closed. The relation between them and Allah will be cut off. And this is what is mentioned in Quran about some people. For example, about some of the Jews, it's mentioned in the Quran that فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ, because they broke their pledge, because they did not act according to their pledge, we cursed them. Now, what did we do to them? We cursed them. لَعَنَّاهُمْ فَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. We made their hearts to be hard. They could not believe in me. They could not establish a relationship which involves love and affection with their Lord. And this is the meaning of curse. Iblis, of course, is not cut off from his provisions in this world after the disobedience. He is cut off from that type of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never can look to his sustainer, to his creator, with a sort of outlook which brings love, which brings some sort of affection. Never. It's just a relationship of hate that he has towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي, indeed my curse will be on you till the day of retribution. Now, of course, here, last week I said, it means till the day of resurrection. What after that? إِلَى in Arabic, of course, has the meaning of till something, and till something and including that destination or that time as well. So here, Hela is for Gaya, which includes the Gaya itself as well. It means until the Day of Judgment and afterward, and we know this from many other verses in the Quran where Shaitan is put in the Hell, which is of course a place where no mercy could be found. In fact, the Hell is a place for the cursed creatures, because it is a place where there is no mercy, no mercy could be found, and therefore it is itself a cursed place in a sense. So, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Now, here there is another piece of conversation between God and Iblis, which is which contains very precious bits of information, very very precious bits of information in this very short conversation, which follows. قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنْذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Now, قال فبعزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلص. I will surely prevent them, I will surely pervert them except your exclusive servants among them. Now, in this conversation that we have from قال رب فأنذرني إلى يوم يبعثون up to إلا عبادك منهم المخلص. First of all, this conversation is before Adam alayhi salam is put in his garden, isn't it? Because Allah says, when I blow from my spirit into Adam, you prostrate before him, and of course Iblis disobeys. And then Allah says, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. After all this happened, after the angels prostrated, Iblis disobeyed, Allah said to Adam now, or Allah placed Adam in the garden. So all these are before Adam was placed in the garden. Now the first thing is that right from here Iblis knows that this Adam is going to have children. These are very interesting, and about the origin of human race and the question, if Adam had not made a sin, would have been all these reproduction and creation of human being on the earth or not. I think this bit of conversation would address lots of these questions. So, the first thing, before Adam is placed in the garden, Iblis knows that he is going to have lots of children. Secondly, Iblis knows that Adam and his children are going to die and are going to be resurrected, because it says, فَأَنْذِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَعْثُونَ. Give me respite until the day they are resurrected. Thirdly, Iblis knows that among these, the children of this Adam, there are many who are مُخْلَصِين, who are exclusively directed towards Allah. They could not be deceived, and therefore he says right from the beginning, because he is actually bragging for Allah that I will do this, and he doesn't want to be defied later on by Allah saying you saw you couldn't deceive some of these people. He said right from the beginning, okay, I know there are some people here who are very very committed to you. I'm not talking about them, but the rest I will all deceive. So, what all these tell us is that it was not the case that Adam was to be in the garden with his wife forever without having children, and it was only because of that sin that all this process has begun. It was very clear. If it was clear for the angels, it was for the Iblis, it was clear for the angels as well. So it was not a secret information that Adam and Hawa are going to have children, and they are going to have to die, they are going to have a resurrection and all these things. And even in the garden, Adam alayhi salam himself knows that he was going to die. according to the story. The idea that Adam was placed in paradise is a wrong idea there. That garden was not paradise. Well, of course, Jannah means garden, and Jannah means a garden in this world, means a garden in the hereafter, means a garden in Barzakh, or means a garden in general. So when Allah says, Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah, you and your wife reside in Jannah, it doesn't necessarily mean paradise. It means in the garden. Now, of course, that was a very, very special garden in which Adam alayhi salam was placed. But certainly it was not paradise, because both Iblis and Adam himself, they knew that there is going to be death in that garden. And how death could be there in paradise. How Adam knew there is death in paradise in that garden? Because, of course, Iblis deceived him from the same concept by actually bringing the same concept to his attention. قَالَ يَا آدَمْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَىٰ. When he wanted to deceive Adam, of course, he said there is a tree in this garden, which is the tree of eternity, eternality, you eat from it, you will become eternal, you don't be mortal anymore. And in this way, Iblis deceived Adam alayhi salam. And therefore, Adam knew that there was death in that garden. So that garden was not paradise. And even if Adam did not sin, he would have had progeny in the same paradise, and he would have died, he would have been resurrected, but everything would have been done in that paradise, in that garden. Just all the time making mistakes between garden and paradise. In that garden he would have all his life. Now, what sort of garden was that? It is the garden of sinlessness. When you do not commit a sin, even in this world you are in a garden. No matter what people around you do, you are in a garden of bliss of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not commit sin. If you commit sin, of course, then things are different. Now, you may say, okay, the prophets, the saints, some of the saints, the imams, they never commit sin in this world, but they are not in the same situation as Adam was. That was a garden in which all bounties of God was there. There was no shortcoming. He didn't need to work, he didn't need to worry, no sun heat, no cold, nothing. إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَضْمَعُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. No heat, no cold, no hunger, you don't need to worry about your clothes and worry about life. You don't need to worry about that. But now we know in this world, even if a person is immaculate, is sinless, they need to worry about all these things. Why? Now, of course, we live in this world collectively, and therefore things are arranged collectively. If all human beings are sinless, the same garden and paradise, well, something like paradise, the same garden will be provided for you. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If communities, if civilization, they believe and they have taqwa, then we open the doors of barakah from earth and from heaven. So they don't need to worry about anything. There will always be provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, of course, since we deny, since we sin, then of course sinless people are among us as well. And just to let imagination to do its work, suppose if Adam alayhi salam did not sin in that garden, and he had progeny in the same garden. At the end, some of his progeny would have sinned in the garden, would have made the garden polluted with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing would have happened. So, the important thing about that garden was not that it was paradise and Adam was driven out of paradise. The important thing was that it was a place where Allah had actually arranged for sinless community, for sinless people. And as soon as the disobedience was made, whatever we say about that sin and disobedience, whether it was Tarka Ula or whatever, as soon as something happened like that, then of course everything changed in that garden. The light became like the light on this earth. And of course, that garden, as some exegetes say, it was on the earth itself, but in a different situation. And when Adam disobeyed and ate from that tree, it transpired that the place was not the same place anymore. It was the earth now. And he had to live on the earth with the hardship that any life would involve. So, when Iblis says, قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنْزَلْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, we understand that he knows that there is a resurrection. There is a death. There is a resurrection. There are progenies for human beings. And secondly, one other important thing is that Iblis, mostly in most places in the Quran, in a conversation which is quoted for us, he calls Allah Rabbi, my sustainer. And this is very strange, because if Iblis knows that God is his sustainer, that he can cut off everything from him, he can, if he decides, he can no more sustain him, why he is so arrogant? Why he disobeys him? If he knows that the destiny is destiny ahead is very terrible and gloomy, why does he do that? Well, it is the nature of arrogance. And in fact, many human beings are like that as well. Now, in the case of Shaitan, of course, this is very extreme. He really sees, he observes that he is sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why all the time he says, Rabbi. And he knows if there is a respite, if he is going to be, to continue life, it is only Allah that who should actually provide that continuation for him. And again, that stupidity, which is mixed with that huge knowledge. Sometimes huge knowledge is mixed with stupidity and in a way become a trouble for people. Now, that stupidity is that he thought with himself that, okay, I say something, I conceal something, and if I am granted what I say, then I reveal what is in my heart. Not knowing that, of course, Allah knew what is in his heart. Now, he said, give me respite until the day they are resurrected. Not revealing that I will lead them astray, I will pervert them. Now, after Allah says that, okay, I give you respite, you can continue living until the day of resurrection, then he says, okay, now that you have granted me respite, let me tell you what I have planned. I want to deceive all these creatures. Now, thinking that now I have deceived God. If he withdraws his respite which has been given to me, then he has, in a way, I have proved that he doesn't know things, I have proved that I know better than him, and if he continues with his decision, if he has given me respite and continues with it, then I lead everyone astray. So it was a very nice plan that Iblis made. So he said, قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنْزِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, and after the respite was given, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I swear by your might. Again, you see, this knowledge of Iblis doesn't go away. He knows that God is his sustainer, he knows that God is the mighty one in this world, the might belongs to him, he knows all this, but that arrogance which comes in. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I will pervert all of them. Now, this اغواء, this leading astray, this misleading of human beings. In other verses, it is mentioned that he says how he does it. He knows that he doesn't have power to force people to things. He himself is aware of the abilities that he has. What type of ability, what type of power he has on this creature, and this again is strange that he knows this. Before Adam is placed in the garden, he knows what type of ability, what type of power he has on this Adam. Now, he says that in other verses he says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي Because you led me astray. Now, and this is strange. Why did he say this? That because you led me astray. Because Allah didn't do anything to lead him astray. Allah only told him to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, and he did not, and other angels did. There was nothing that led him astray. It was just because he himself committed that sin. Then, of course, he was, in a sense, showing this jabri attitude as many human beings have, that whatever happens in this world is due to God. Even if we sin, it's God who has willed it. If we do not obey God, it's God who has willed it, and therefore it's all due to Him. This attitude Iblis takes here as well. And if we want to be somehow unfair on those people who believe in Jabr, we say that this is the argument of Shaitan. We say that whatever happens in this world is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is what they say, even if people sin, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it happens. And of course, in several places of the Quran, Allah says, of course, this is just a conjecture that you make. The arrangement of the world is not like that. The creation of Adam is not like that. That if he wills something, Allah will has willed it for him, has decided it for him before. Anyhow, that's a different argument. Now, what he had in mind, the power that he had, was that قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي Because you have misled me. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْعَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ So he himself mentions very clearly what power I have. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْعَرْضِ I will glamorize things for them on the earth. I will somehow decorate things which are on the earth. In that very short period, they think that there are very, very huge purposes behind very little things. For example, wealth. We think that wealth is very, very important. If someone is not wealthy, it means that they are cut off from the mercy of Allah. Allah is not looking at them. This is that glamorization of wealth, which is, of course, Allah says it's only a matah. It's وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتُهَا Whatever you are given is just a means in this world. And of course, it's not as important as if a person has faith, if a person is given commitment, if a person is given good faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَمَنْ وَعَدْنَاهُ وَعْدًا حَسَنًا فَهُوَ لَاغِثٌ This is completely against the glamorization of shaitan. What comes in Surah Qasas? أَفَمَنْ وَعَدْنَاهُ وَعْدًا حَسَنًا فَهُوَ لَاقِيهِ كَمَنْ مَتَّعْنَاهُ مَتَاعَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ هُوَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الْمُخْزَرِينَ Is the one who is given the mata of this world. It's the means which, of course, he doesn't need all of it. For if it means, we just need the little by which we live. That's all. Now, if we have given someone this matah of hayat al-dunya, is he equal with someone to whom we have given very nice promise about the day of judgment? Because, of course, he's good, he's faithful, he's pious, and for all these we have given him good promise, and this person is going to meet all those things. Are they equal? And especially if that person who has matah of hayat al-dunya is from those who go to hell on the day of judgment. ثُمَّ هُوَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةَ مِنَ الْمُخْزَرِينَ Of course, this is against the ploy of Shaitan. Now, Shaitan knew he has no power on human beings. And this is the case. He has no power. On the day of judgment, even when you complain, he says that وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانٍ I have no power over you. Don't blame me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Why you are blaming me? You blame yourself. I just decorated things, I just glamorized, and you follow. So who's to blame here? Is it me or is you? So Shaitan, right from the beginning, knows his limits, his power. So what he says is, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُخْبِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ And of course, Allah says, well, do it with your full power. I give you even what you cannot imagine to do this. Your progeny can help you. Your other kind, your other gen kind can help you as well in this, if you can deceive them or if they are deceived themselves. They can help you in this. And you can attack them with your full soldiers, with your cavalry and all these things. But you will see that you will not succeed at the end to subvert my plan for this human race. Now, of course, he says, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except your exclusive servants who are مُخْلَص. مُخْلَص is from إِخْلَاص, sincerity, and it's different from مُخْلَص. مُخْلَص is someone who tries to become sincere. And of course, that's the station and the status of every believer, that they try to be sincere, they try to purify their intentions, to purify themselves so that all they worship, whatever they do for God, is sincerely done. This is mukhlas. Now, mukhlas, of course, is different. It's sifatul maf'ul. That means someone who has become sincere already, who has been chosen to become sincere, or who has succeeded to make himself sincere completely. And therefore, of course, mukhlas is someone who never commits sin, who never goes around sin, and shaitan knows that. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. And in other way, we might think that shaitan knew that for these human beings, there are going to be guides, and there are going to be, as he knew that they are going to die, they are going to be resurrected, there are going to be the guides and world. And he knew that, of course, Allah is not going to be fail in his plans, and therefore the guys who come, they are mukhlas, they are chosen to be sincere so that they can guide others. And he says, okay, those who you have chosen to be mukhlas, I don't go around them, but others, of course, I will leave aspect. Now, the reply coming from God is very interesting. قَالَ فَالْحَقَّ. This is true, or this is right. This is something which is right, that you do. And there is another right thing that I tell you. And you have planned this, it's okay. It is actually according to my plan. What you want to do is according to my plan, because the plan of God is always haqq. So Allah says, don't think that this is your plan, it's my plan. قَالَ فَالْحَقِّ وَالْحَقَّ أَقُولَ. And I say, I reveal to you another truth. Another truth I reveal to you. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعْكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I'll fill hell with you and all of those who follow you. Now, that means, you are cursed, anyone following you is cursed, and therefore it doesn't make any difference for me whether you disobey and go to hell or those from human race who follow you. All of you are the same in my eye, and I will fill hell with you. And hell is, of course, a place for the cursed one. In Surah Hijr, this is explained in a different expression which is more explicit. In Surah Hijr, when, of course, the same conversation is mentioned, Allah says that قَالَ هَذَا, instead here he says قَالَ فَالْحَقِّ, this is right, this is true. There he says قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is exactly the right path that I have planned for my creatures, for human race. Exactly the same thing. قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is the right path that leads to me. If human beings want to come with their own free will to me, this is the path to it. They have to pass through you. And this is, you think that you have planned something, but in a way, فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هُمُ الْمَكِيدُونَ. Those who are the disbelievers, like Iblis, they are the ones who are subject of plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are in a way subject of my plan, and you didn't realize that yourself.
Now, of course, again, Allah did not force him to do that. But since, of course, Allah never failed in his plans, Iblis made himself a subject of that plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Or, in a variance of the citation, it says, قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلِيٌّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Of course, صِرَاطٌ عَلِيٌّ, not صِرَاطُ عَلِيٍّ. That's not referring to Ali alayhi salam. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلِيٌّ. This is an exalted path. This is the highest type of path that could be imagined for human beings to come through me. قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلِيٌّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Or هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. My servants you cannot reach. You cannot have any power. إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Except those who follow you by their own will, who are misled in themselves, they follow you. إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Then of course Jahannam is the place of appointment between you and them. Now, what we understand from this verse is that Jahannam is initially destination of Iblis, not human beings. Jahannam is created for Iblis, not for human beings. And this is what we have in many traditions. Paradise is created initially for human beings, not hell. And it is planned that every human being should have a place in that paradise. And in many traditions we have that those who go to paradise, they see many empty places in paradise. And they actually inherit those empty places. Because the owners of those places are already in hell. They have left. In a way, they have abandoned their gardens and their places which were foreseen for them in paradise. So, human being is originally created for paradise. They choose to go to hell. The hell is the abode of Iblis. Because he is the head of arrogance. He knows God is his sustainer, he knows the might of Allah, he knows everything is in his hand, he knows everything is planned by him. Still he has that arrogance, so he never can come out of hell. He should be burned in there forever. And anyone following him to the degree that they have followed him, to the degree that they are deceived by him, they will go along so that there is the fair justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No difference between a jinn and between an ant, between a human being and between a jinn who is Iblis. There is no difference. So whoever goes this path, goes along this path of arrogance, would meet the same destination. Now, at the closing verses of the chapter, Prophet is told to say, قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. I do not ask you any reward for it. And I am not among those who impose. Now, mutakallif is someone who can impose things on others or someone who can impose things on himself or herself. Usually, in common language today, when we say someone is mutakallif, means they impose things on themselves. They are very worried about their behavior, and therefore they do things forcefully, they impose them on themselves. Now, any meaning that we take for mutakallif, or as it's translated here to be an imposter, and saying that I am not someone who has claimed this guidance and doesn't have it, any meaning that we imagine for it, it means that Prophet is not imposing anything either on himself to go through all those troubles to say something to the people who is not true, or he is not imposing this knowledge on others. He is not imposing on anything on others actually, and this of course we have in many other verses of the Quran that you cannot impose anything on the people. And also, مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهَ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. All this information which I provided for you, it's free of charge. I'm not asking any reward for it, not asking any remuneration for it. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It's just a reminder for all human beings, for all the nations. وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ نَبَأَهُ بَعْدَ حِينَ. And you will surely learn its tidings in due time. Now, of course, this نَبَأَهُ means you will see the ta'wil of it. You will see what all these mean when time comes. And the process of creation unfolds itself. When it comes to the day of judgment, I am talking about day of judgment here now, but you don't really know what it is. You don't know the reality of it. The reality of it, the right information about it, you would know after a short while. Now, this short while might be after death. That, of course, in many verses of the Quran, we have that when people die, they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They enter the realm of the angels and all these things which are mentioned about death. Or it might mean at every stage of the development of human creation, through the day of judgment, up till hell and paradise, you realize what all these meant. And especially the final and full realization will come when people reside either in hell or in paradise. They know what all these really meant, what the Prophet said. Like what we have in Surah Yasin, for example, when people are raised from their graves. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. They say, woe to us, who has raised us from our graves? هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانِ. Then they realize, this is what was promised by God. وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And the Mursaloon were truthful. They realized the news of that at that day, and of course other things mentioned about the Day of Judgment as they come along. Okay, we finish this surah. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Thank you, Rajin. It's a very interesting discussion. If I may open up here, it seems that, supposing even if Shaitan had not deceived Adam, we ourselves, within our nature, would have had that power of going astray. Just Shaitan just gives us a push on that.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Tendency towards disobedience is not something that comes only from Iblis. Some human beings have that tendency themselves as well. So if Iblis was not there, it would have been possible that many human beings would have disobeyed. But of course, Iblis makes it much quicker, much easier, and in many cases, for people who are not exposed to Iblis, they cannot show, they cannot reveal their full nature, the full nature of their soul. So they all the time remain dormant, and the plan of God that things in the soul of human beings should be brought out, would not complete very easily. I usually say, if Iblis was not there, probably each human being should have lived in this world 5,000, 6,000 years, so that they could actually show and reveal the inner nature of their soul. Now, Iblis is there, alhamdulillah, everything is done quickly. 60 years, 70 years, things are finished.
Okay. Was Adam one of the Mukhlaseen?
Adam was one of the Mukhlaseen after he was delegated from that position in that garden. After he was delegated, then he was one of the mukhlasin, not before that. The whole idea of mukhlas and mukhlas and all these things, it started to work after Adam was delegated from that position. Before that, of course, Adam didn't know at all what's the meaning of sin, what's the meaning of ikhlas and these issues. So afterward, yes, he was from mukhlasin.
Then the question arises, why did Allah create Adam with this image speaking him? He is Rahman, Rahim, and he does good. So why did he create a creature which has a tendency, however deep down, embedded in his soul?
Well, this is one of the the signs that Allah mentions of His power and of the beauty of human soul, وَنَفْسًا وَمَا حَوَّاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That we have inspired fujur and taqwa, evil and good, in human soul. So that, of course, that free will can work, and the human being can reflect the whole picture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their soul. That's something which is, in a way, completion or perfection of human soul, knowing both things.
I keep wondering all the time, what was the purpose of this, all of this, you know, putting us through all this trial and tribulation. It just all seems so pointless.
وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ نَبَأَهُ بَعْدَ حِينَ. Of course, you know the news of it after a while, as the Quran said. No, it's not pointless at all. It's very meaningful. It means that, now suppose Shaitan was not there. Okay, you are a creature with free will, knowing things in this world, knowing how things can work, how things can go wrong, how things could go right, as exactly Allah knows. Does Allah have power to somehow crush everyone in this world, or He doesn't? He does, of course. He can do that. But of course, He doesn't, because He's purely, purely benign being. But He knows evil. He knows how evil could be produced in this world. And of course, He doesn't do that. And this adds to His magnificence. He is merciful, He is magnificent, and all these things. And human beings, if they want to reflect the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have to have the same thing. They have to know good, they have to do good willingly, so that the beauty of their soul is revealed. And in a way, what we do in this world, now you say it's pointless, but we learn to use our free will to do good, while we can do evil. And in a sense, this is just a practice just an exercise to learn when we go to paradise, although we have free will, we have free imagination, this is very important as well, an imagination that can go in any direction, but we only want good things. And if we are not a subject of that exercise here, then in paradise we cannot do the same thing, and we are not then allowed to go in paradise. So, when we go there, everything, inshallah, will become transparent.
That's absolutely true. After the creation, we can argue all of that. But why the creation itself?
Oh, that's a completely different question. Why the creation? That's a completely different question. Why Allah has created? Of course, we can mention some verses of the Quran. أَفَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Do they not see that Allah has created heavens and earth according to haq? It's haq because, why is haq? It's haq because it is, in a way, exposition of Allah's power and giving the mercy, giving the blessing that Allah has to others to grow as well. It's haq. If it was not there, if Allah kept everything for Himself, not giving it to anyone else, was it haq or it was not haq? We could have made the same question. So this, the purpose of creation is that Allah, who is infinite barakah, they could give this barakah to others as well, and could create others who can enjoy the life which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. However, we are now in the process. And when you are in the process, you don't know what is happening. It's just like a war scene. When you are in war front and you are fighting, you don't know what's happening overall in that battle. You are in a small battle, you don't know how war is going on. But for a commander who sees everything, who has just positioned every battalion and every soldier in the place, he knows how things are going ahead in the war. And we are just like soldiers here now. We don't know what's going on. But the commander knows certainly what's going on.
Swami.
Yes.
First of all, is this garden specially created for Adam? And as he is driven out of that garden, who resides in that garden? And secondly, why do the children of Adam will have to suffer in this world? It's like the Christian belief, the original sin. I mean, all the human beings could have been in that garden. If they have gone astray, then they would have been thrown out. So without any sin or anything, they are in this world.
Well, we have to thank God that we were not created in that garden, because then we couldn't blame our father. We should have blamed ourselves, because eventually we would have come out of it. So, the garden is no more there. The garden was there so long as Adam had that attitude. And in a way, Adam was not transferred to anywhere. The garden just disappeared. And Adam found himself on the earth. It was on the earth. It was on the earth, but because of the situation of attitude of Adam, it was just like a garden of paradise. Okay, it's just like as sometimes prophets or saints, they feel themselves because of the attitude of that they have, the closest to God that they have, they feel themselves in a garden, of a very refreshing type of environment. So the garden disappeared as soon as Adam committed that sin. Now, when the garden disappeared, it disappears. Now, Adam couldn't have his progeny in that garden anymore. He had his progeny here on the earth. Now, you say that if we did not commit that sin, why we are not created in that garden? Well, the reason is that, of course, if Adam could not resist that temptation from Shaitan, how could we? And therefore, it's good that we are not in that garden if Adam just ate, just tasted, because the Quran says they just tasted the fruits, and then they were they found themselves outside. If Adam just tasted that, if we were there, we would have eaten the whole tree. And therefore, it's good that we are not there. However, Allah says, go out of this garden, but do not fear. Do not think that things have changed for you. Things are not changed. It's only hardship. It's just for a short while. Things have not changed for you. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى I send you guides. Okay? When this guidance comes to those guys, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَذِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى Anyone who follows that guidance, they wouldn't go astray, they wouldn't go in hardship, they don't feel the hardship, they only feel the pleasant situation of being in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's something very, very trivial. It's not a big deal. It's only this life of the world, and it's a trial for us, and it's not bad actually.
You know, the Shaitan, after disobedience, he and the curse that comes to him, the lana that he is cursed, he asks for the respite, and the Allah gives him the respite. Similarly, for a human being that Allah has given a life, a lifespan, he got until the day, which is later on. For a human being, it's a limited period of life, and he sort of disobeys Allah, and then his life continues in a similar manner that nothing happens. He is not stopped at any stage, but he continues with his actions. Is there a similarity of that sort of the way the Allah gives these opportunities to act? The Shaitan will not come back, but maybe for the human being there is an opportunity to come back.
Yes, in Shaitan's case, since he is cursed, that respite is not going to help him. For those human beings who are cursed as well, respite is not going to help them. It's only for those who are not cursed that giving time, giving respite would help them. That's, of course, something that we know. Allah gives time to people to repent. Sometimes the length of the life will become very, very long so that people could go back, could repent. But in the case of shaitan, there is no such a thing. It's just something evil that he asked from his Lord. He didn't realize it himself, that this respite is not good for him, actually. It's bad for him, because it adds to his sins, it adds to his evil to his account, and adds to his punishment. So, if he had asked that, okay God, since you have led me astray, for example, just take my life now, right now, so that I do not feel anything in this world anymore, it would have been much better for him than asking that response. So, maybe not quite similar. The respite given to Shaitan is not to go back, because he cannot go back, he's cursed. The respite given to human beings, in most cases, yes, it is something for them to go back and to repent.
Why was Shaitan, after disobeying Allah, allowed to go in the garden of the sinless against Adam?
Well, this is the point where lots of discussions have been made. For example, we have in some stories that Shaitan could not enter that garden, so he sent the serpents or some other animal to convey his message to Adam alayhi salam. But no, that was a garden of sinlessness for human beings, not that Shaitan could not enter it. Shaitan had actually that ability to communicate with the soul of human beings, and still he has that ability. No matter whether in that garden or wherever, the only place that he cannot enter is paradise, of course, the paradise of the Day of Judgment. So it was the paradise of sinlessness, the garden of sinlessness for Adam alayhi salam, not for Iblis, so he could enter that and communicate with the soul of Adam alayhi salam.
The term Mukhlas, you said, applies to the guides of Allah SWT. Does it just include the prophets or other awliya of Allah?
Well, some other awliya might be included in that. Siddiqeen and Shuhada as the witnesses, as is mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. Yes, some other people might be included in that Mukhlas. But it's a very, very high station. It's reserved for those who never have committed sin in their lives. So they are very, very limited people who are among the Mukhlasin. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى. Mention Musa in the book. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَسًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًا. So he was a Mukhlas and he was a Rasul and Nabi. And that means, yes, it is possible for someone not to be Rasul and Nabi, but to be a Mukhlas. It's possible.
Shaitan was cursed for the sin of pride. Does it mean that human beings who are proud as well will be cursed as well, or does it mean that...
Yes, pride brings curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but of course not all of us have that arrogance in our hearts to some extent. Very little human beings are somehow excluded from the arrogance and pride. And as we have in Hadith, pride is the last thing that goes out of human hearts. But to some degree it is acceptable, and even faithful people could have that some degree of pride, which of course Allah would forgive. But if the pride and arrogance passes from a limit, reaches a level, then of course, yes, the curse of Allah will come. And then it means that the way, the connection between servant and God will be cut off.
So Shaitan was cursed immediately, and Prophet Adam was also like taken out of the heaven as soon as he did a sin. But whereas us, like in our time, people sin so much, but yet they're not punished the way they are.
No, we don't see that punishment. The punishment is very immediate. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيءُ الْحِسَابِ. Allah is very quick in account. So, as soon as a person sins. Now, Allah tells us that for ordinary human beings, we give them some time. For example, if you sin, if you sin in the morning, I give you until the evening to repent. But if you do not repent until the evening, then that sin will be recorded for you. And recorded doesn't mean that it's recorded in the book. It's recorded on your heart. It puts a black spot on your heart. And then, of course, these black spots, if they become too many, then it covers the heart completely. So the punishment is very, very quick. It immediately comes if a person sins. But we do not see it. It comes on the heart, gradually, gradually. You see that a person who prays, who fasts, who is very committed, by committing sins, gradually he loses faith in doing all these things, then he abandons them. And this is actually the result of those black spots which come on the heart.
I think there are some rewired to say that Adam held out for a very long time, hundreds or even thousands of years before he sinned. And then there are others that say that it was less than a day before he sinned and was chucked out. What is the significance of this consideration? And what does it say about Adam before the garden?
I don't think it is important. We really don't know how long Adam stayed there. But the way the Quran puts the story shows that it took some time for at least to convince Adam to go and eat from that tree. As the story goes in the Quran, of course, Adam was shown the tree and Allah told him this is a tree that you should not get close to. Adam was shown Iblis, قُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوُّكَ عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. This is an enemy of you and your wife and your spouse. So be careful, he wants to take you out of this garden. So Iblis couldn't very easily go to Adam and say, come and eat from this tree. So he should have made a plan, he should have tried to work out a very long type of arrangement. And eventually, of course, what happened, Iblis didn't tell Adam to come and eat from that tree. He said, there is a tree in this garden, which is the tree of eternity. If you eat from it, you never die, you become like angels. And when, of course, Adam was shown the tree, he was surprised. This is the tree Allah has told us not to eat from. Why do you say we have to eat? So it took long, long time to convince Adam to eat from it. But several thousand years, it's very impossible, very improbable. One day, it's again very improbable, so it should have been a while.
Yeah.